Okay, and we're recording. Okay, so our study in 2 Thessalonians obviously wasn't here last week, so we'll just review a little bit and we'll pick it up again where I think we left off. So why don't we do this? Why don't you just read again through here? Nancy, you want to read?
I'd love to read.
2 Thessalonians 2, we're going to go 1 through... 1 through 10. We'll just do a quick review and then we'll move on.
I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians what?
2, 1 through 10.
Okay. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him,
amen,
whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs of lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Well done, my dear. So we've covered a lot of this. We've looked at a lot of the first half of this. We've actually caught months now, kind of Matthew 24 led us to a study there. We see that the second coming is one day. The what they call the rapture is not a rapture. It's actually a resurrection of all the saints, and I would say all people. So we've covered a lot of this. We see that it's one day. We see that there's an event coming that we're told that we're going to see, and that's the man of sin be revealed when he sits in the temple of God, says, I'm God, worship me. We're told we're going to see this event. And we saw the last time I was here that, you know, you have these other virgins saying something different, that falling away now means a taking away, and they try to say that this is the rapture. But we could see that what the Bible teaches, line upon line, is that there is going to be a falling away and the man of sin be revealed.
I think we're in that falling away.
So do I. Yeah, I do. I do too. I mean, I was talking to my nephew who, you know, his claims to be saved, you know, and he's being led around. He texted me the other day, said, you know, what's your view on these verses? And he gave me a bunch of verses that say, we've now replaced Israel. And the whole thing is that those aren't really Jews over there in Israel. You know, and I said, you know, you better be careful about boasting against them. I said, read Romans chapter 11, believe it the way it's written. Here's the problem. There are Zionists who are the synagogue of Satan. They are. They're the synagogue. But all Jews are not Zionists.
Exactly. Well, we can't
determine
that.
It's right. It's right. It's God. It's right. Yeah.
It's not just Jews. Call it Christian.
It's right.
Not everybody who claims the name of
Christ
is a Christian. Not everybody who claims the name of Islam is really, they're not practicing. They don't truly believe it. They hold on to it for the traditions of their forefathers.
Yep, right? And that's what I say. He sent me like 4 or 5 verses. What's the problem with this, Kev, sending 4 verses?
What's the problem with it?
Yeah. Of him saying that we are now Israel, that we've replaced. He sent me 4 verses.
It's,
no context. You need to walk circumspectly around those. You don't just take four verses and make a doctrine out of it. You need to walk circumspectly around all those verses. So I sent him about 20 verses, chapters. I said, read the whole chapter. We are not Israel. We are grafted in with Israel. There's a difference. And this is, I get upset because I've taught him.
But he is turning to you.
Right. But he's also listening to something else, and he's getting it from somewhere else, and he's going, you know, this is what I believe. We've replaced Israel. And, I agree. George, yeah.
I think it's exciting that he's...
I agree, Wendy. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
The Holy Spirit woke you up. Where were you at?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so you got to be careful. Throw
stones,
right?
No, I know, but I'm not talking about somebody who was never
seen. Listening but not reading.
Right. That's it, Doug. That's it. That's my problem.
But I've,
for 20 years, he's not a kid. George is 41 years old. So for 20 years, I've been telling him, read your Bible. Mm-hmm. When somebody tells you something, read your Bible. So, I am thankful that he calls
George,
me.
George, the other George?
No, Terry's son. This is Terry's son, Georgie, my nephew. Okay, so, like I said, to me, this is, like Doug said, if you're going to see something, hear something, be diligent. You just mentioned about being Bereans. Mm-hmm. Be a Berean. Go chase those scriptures. Go read circumspectly around them, and then don't just stop there. Do the study on it. That was my problem with it. So, like I said, to me, this is another thing where now they start to change words where a falling away means now a taking away. And we looked at this, and a lot of this we looked at, that we see that the son of perdition is going to be revealed, the man of sin, and a falling away. Yeah. So, we covered a lot of this. But I think what we've been focusing on is verses 6. Well, 6, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Okay, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So I think this is where we've been, our concentration is now. And we saw the last time I was here that the word let, the root word, means allow, right? So when you add an EST or an ETH on the word, it doesn't change the meaning of the word. It defines the word. EST means second person. ETH means third person or third party. So you can see this. Like I said, now that this has been revealed to me, I see it everywhere. Everywhere I read my Bible, when I see thou sawest, when I see, saw didn't change. It means seeing something. But it's talking second person saw something, right? And if I said he seeth, it's talking about third person seeing something. So the root word doesn't change, but how it is applied is either first person, second person, or third person. So we saw that. We did all that. Here's my point too. In verse 6, it says something is being withheld, not right. What is being withheld? Not someone, but what is being withheld? So, what is being withheld? The mystery of iniquity.
What does it call it? His time, then. His time, that he might be revealed in his time. All right. Now we know that. What? The thing that is not a person, it's just an idea, right? That's what you're saying. That he might be revealed in his time.
Right. Yeah.
The ideal is being withheld until the ideal becomes a reality of a human?
The only thing he's talked about is verse 3. That's the only thing he's said so far when he says, now you know.
Let no man deceive you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
there's going to be a falling away, right, is what he said. Yeah. That's the only thing he's talked about.
Right.
There's going to be a falling away.
Right.
And now he says, now you know.
Right.
Right. So
it's got to be that, because that's the only thing he's talked about.
Well, right.
Isn't he talking about the man of sin?
Right.
Is the one
who, yes, but he's talking about what withholdeth.
Right.
And the only thing he's talked about is verse 3.
Right.
Okay, so who withholds the man of sin?
Okay, so let me just turn to 1 Timothy 3. Turn to 1 Timothy 3, 16. So let me get this bigger. So 1 Timothy 3, and we're going to look at 16. Can everybody see this? So, like I said, there is something that is being withheld. And I thought we kind of covered it a little bit last time, but maybe I wasn't clear on it.
Well, yeah, but there's a difference between what was withheld and who what is withholding.
Yeah, right. Yes, what is being withheld.
And who is withholding it.
Right.
Well, he says only verse 3.
Yeah.
When you look at that context, verse 3, we need to see this falling away, because until that happens,
right.
That's man
what's
of sin. Right.
Right. Right.
That's what's
when
withholding.
The falling
right.
away, exactly. Then the man of sin
right.
will be revealed. And there's been somebody withholding him up until that time, or something that which withholdeth, that he, the man of sin, would be revealed in his time.
Well, I think it's God's plan that the falling away comes
Amen.
First.
Amen. I
and
agree.
Then that's
yes.
what's withholding.
Yep.
Until that happens, he's
Amen.
Not going to
so,
be revealed.
So I don't think someone is withholding. Something is being withheld. So what is that something that is being withheld? It's in verse 7. It's right here in verse 7.
Where are we?
We have a finger in 1 Timothy 3, and then go back to 2 Thessalonians 3. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, so look at 6. Now you know what. Mm-hmm. There's something being withheld that a person, is going to be revealed in his time. Okay, so what is being withheld? He's telling you right there in verse 7. A mystery is being withheld. Verse 7, for ye now know, right, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's what's being withheld,
well,
the mystery of
iniquity. If it's already working, then it's not
right.
being withheld.
It's not being withheld.
But it hasn't been revealed because Antichrist hasn't been revealed yet. In other words, what's the mystery? Here's the mystery of, just hang on, let me finish this. Look at 1 Timothy. So you have the mystery of iniquity. What would be the opposite of the mystery of iniquity? Mystery of godliness? Mystery of godliness would be the opposite of the mystery of iniquity. So let's look and see what the mystery of godliness is. Okay, look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Now without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So what is going to be the opposite of this mystery? The opposite of this mystery is the mystery of iniquity. So you can see it right here on this. Compare these two. The false prophet, God was manifest in the flesh. Well, the false prophet, the Antichrist, are going to be manifested in the flesh. That has not happened yet. I don't know who the Antichrist is. I do not know who the false prophet is.
Did not John say in First John that many Antichrists have departed from us already?
Do you know who he is? Do you know? And out of
them, which ones they are? There are many.
Right, but and out of the many, he says one will come.
Yes.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah, Judas Iscariot.
Where is he?
Well, right now he's being held.
Where's the false prophet that's coming?
Where's the false prophet? You know, the spirit of the false prophet is the
prince. There is a false prophet that is going to preach Antichrist on the world.
Well, I see a lot of them.
Right, but there is one.
Yes, there is one.
Not yet revealed.
Right, he's not yet been revealed. Neither has Antichrist. When is Antichrist revealed, whether it's Judas or not? When is he revealed? When he gets into the temple and he says, I'm God, worship me. Look at verse 3 again. Doug mentioned it. That's the mystery of iniquity, right? There'll be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. So even if he is here on the earth right now and he's Judas Iscariot, I've never seen Judas Iscariot. He has not been revealed to me. He is revealed when he steps into the temple and he says, I'm God, worship me. That's when he's being revealed. What else is the mystery of godliness? He's seen of angels. Well, I'm told that a third mystery of iniquity, a third of the angels are going to be cast out of heaven with the devil to the ground. I have not seen that yet. He preached on unto the Gentiles. He's going to be preached on into the world, and he's going to deceive the whole world to take the mark. I have not seen that yet. Believed unto the world. The world will worship the dragon and the beast. Yet, are they? But not as a whole, not like Genesis, not like the flood, and not like Sodom and Gomorrah. Received up into glory. What's the opposite of being received up into glory? He's going to go down to the pit, right? Not only that, there's also, I did some other comparisons here too of this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the son of perdition. Jesus Christ is Christ the King. He is going to be king of this world. He is going to be the ruler of this world. That has not happened yet. That's the mystery that's being withheld. He is the Savior Lamb. He is the wool, the lamb in sheep and wolves, however, you know what I'm saying. But he's a lamb that speaks like a dragon. That has not happened yet. Jesus Christ came from the stock, the tribe of Judah. I said this. I'm going to correct myself. I'll say when I'm wrong about something. I think a couple weeks ago I said, I don't know if he has to be Jewish. I started looking at this. He's clearly Jewish. And he has come from the tribe of Dan. Maybe we could get into that if when we get into Revelation someday. He comes from the tribe of Dan. That's clear, which maybe Judas was. Okay, so now Christ sent forth his apostles and prophets. Antichrist, we just mentioned it. There are many antichrists. There's many false prophets. But out of those false prophets is going to come one false prophet that is going to point to him. He makes saints of all nations, Jesus Christ. What's the opposite of that? They're going to be damned. They're going to take the mark, right? Mark forced and on the damned. Christ's resurrection was perfect, flawless, right? Antichrist, he comes back on the scene if he like this, with an eye, a bruised eye and a bruised arm. He's withered. He's brought up from the dead, an unperfect man. This is my point.
He's not going to be born.
Yes.
A lot of people say, yes. Believe he's already born.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he's not
going to
be born.
This is my point. I hear it all the time. Well, he could be, you know, he could be on the earth right now. Well, he could be.
It's a singular person.
It's singular. It's singular. Right. He is singular. Yes, exactly.
And
good point.
Was born if it's Judas.
It's right.
That was already happened.
It's already happened.
No. In that he's already deformed and stuff, it says that he was wounded by a sword.
Yeah. Took a deadly wound.
Right. Which messed up one of his eyes, one of his
arms.
Right? So he wasn't created that way. He was okay until something happened to him.
That's what it seems like to me. Yeah. And it could be something where, you know, he comes on the scene. You can't kill him if he's already been dead and brought back. So he could have got whacked or something. I don't know. Zechariah talks about him having one eye darkened and his arm withered. So I don't know. My point is, this is the mystery. This is the opposite. What is being withheld is the mystery of iniquity. And yes, it is, we see it. It is already at work. But the agents have not been revealed yet. And even Satan himself is going to be revealed at the end of this. We'll see that. We'll look at that in Revelation. So
where I was taken was to Revelation 17. And it says in verse 5, but I wanted to start at 4. And the woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, having golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of the and her fornications. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be revealed. Go ahead, Gayla.
Can you define mystery for me? Because, like, I'm not getting that. Didn't the mystery of godliness, hasn't that already been revealed?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my point I'm trying to make. The mystery has already been revealed to us, that In the Old Testament, Jesus Christ was a mystery. He was a secret.
To us.
It's
not revealed to the world.
It's right. But now it has been revealed to us that he has come in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. He was seen of angels.
Yes.
I believe that has already happened. That is the mystery of godliness being revealed in Jesus Christ. Right? That's a secret that was in the Old Testament that now has been given to us.
And he says he shows us mysteries. Paul says,
right.
So, behold, I show you a mystery.
From the Bible, we can understand the mystery of iniquity, but what you're saying is there's
yes.
going to be an actual time.
Yes,
so
yes.
Know
yeah.
what this is all about.
I'll say this, Gail, about mysteries. God doesn't keep secrets from us saints. So, yes, I can know the mystery of iniquity, so I know what to look for when I see it. And even though it's already at work, yes, iniquity has been at work since the garden. Of course it's at work, but it's going to be highlighted and revealed when he sits in the temple of God and says, I'm God, worship me.
Yeah, he's not going to come in a mystery of the night like a thief.
It's right. It's right. Not to us.
Right.
That's right.
So in the same way that godliness was started in the garden.
Yeah.
That God promised.
Yeah.
The same way we can see the thread throughout the Bible of iniquity.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Right. But this is a
kind of a... Galo, well, let's put it this way. If I'm an Old Testament Jew and I'm reading the account in the garden and there's somebody walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, I don't know who that is. If there's a bush, there's an angel in a bush speaking out of a bush in the Old Testament, I don't know who that is. If there's an angel leading Israel to the promised land, I don't know who that is. But when I read the New Testament, I know who that secret person is. It's Jesus Christ, right? So now this, the mystery of godliness has been revealed, like Doug said, to us. While he also doesn't keep secrets from us because we're the ones watching what's going to transpire in these last days. And I'm told that the mystery of iniquity is being withheld, but it's to us it's being revealed, so now we know what to look for. And it is the revelation of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and I'll say this, Satan himself. Right? Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so... We brought this up last week. I want to read it again. You know, what they say, who the withholder is, and who is letting and letting. So let me just, we did this a couple weeks ago when we showed that all the other versions change the word. Remember, I don't know if you guys remember this. Okay, so the mystery of your King James Bible says what? The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then we started going through all these other versions that change it. Say the mystery of lawlessness, your King James Bible does not say lawlessness. Only he who now restrains. Your King James Bible does not say restrains. It says letteth. Okay, so now we saw all these other versions that changed the word of God. If you believe your King James Bible is the word of God, they changed it. So to me, why would they do that? Because they have an agenda they want to reach. Second of all...
Can you define lawlessness versus iniquity?
Yeah, lawlessness. Guess what? I'm lawless. I do 40 in a 35. Iniquity... Iniquity is sin. We looked at this Tuesday. Is sin that is the depravity of all sin. It is the lowest of low. It's not just sin. It is raping a child. Right? That is iniquity. But me doing 40 into 35 is lawless. Right?
Well, they're going back to the Jewish law.
It's right.
Defining this as lawlessness versus iniquity. Lawlessness
right.
Taking sin out of the.
It's right.
Out of the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. Now you just we're
it
looking for some law.
Word.
So
it
lawlessness.
Downplays
it downplays it. It
yeah.
downplays the word.
But lawlessness is sin.
Right. When you go 40 and 30, you're sinning.
Right. But is it iniquity? Is it the sin against a sin against God, iniquity?
The reason
is it the depravity of mankind?
The reason we knew we were sinners is because of the law. If it were not for the law.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So until the law came, so the lawlessness means, to me it seems, that you do not even recognize God's law. You are not measuring yourself against anything.
Right.
That lawlessness is to disregard God's law. It's not like a one time here and a row. It's disregarding. Right.
So like if you do 45 always in a 35, then you're committing iniquity.
Right. That I'm committing a law. I'm breaking a law.
But if you
iniquity,
do it over and over and over again.
Iniquity is unforgivable sin.
No. That's not blasphemy.
So the Antichrist is going to be forgiven?
Doesn't say that. I know a lot of folks who are sinners that ain't going to be forgiven because they don't accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
It is the mystery of iniquity does already work.
Kinds of sins like that,
right.
too. They
right.
have the mortal and the venial
right.
and everything. I have relearned through God's Word that sin is sin.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's what I've
And heard. He doesn't put a scale on it.
Murder's not worse than gay marriage.
Well,
than
so what the difference
abortion.
Is, if you're transgressing the law, I recognize the law, and if I transgress that law, I am sinning. It is iniquity. It is.
So when Christ raises them up at the great white throne judgment, and he's judging them according to their works.
Well, actually, he judges first out of the Book of Life. If you're not born
right.
again,
yeah, I agree. Either you're in it or you're not.
Right.
But the
yeah.
ones that aren't in it,
mm-hmm.
he's going to bring them up, and he's going to judge them according to their.
Yeah.
works.
Yeah.
So he is judging sin.
Mm-hmm.
Some sin is worse than other sin.
The law says it's okay for abortion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the
and,
yeah.
And in our Christian values.
Right.
But not God's law.
Right.
And so
if he wasn't judging them according to their works, there wouldn't be different levels of sin. I'm not saying all sin is sin, clearly.
Mm-hmm. So but if at you root just one of the laws of God without repentance, then you still go to hell.
Absolutely. But I don't know what the but I don't know what the
different punishments.
It's right.
Says it.
It's right.
So
I don't know.
It would be for this
it's
guy
right.
than this guy.
That's right. Why is there different
yeah,
punishments?
Well,
why is there different punishments?
When you're
then?
Cast out into the final fire, right? Doesn't matter. Hey, really?
It doesn't matter.
He said it does.
It's,
he said it matters.
Yeah.
He says it's better
all right.
than for this guy.
So we could disagree there.
Yeah.
We can disagree. I do. I agree with Doug. I do think
yeah.
there is
but
different
how
levels.
That, how
there,
that works.
Yeah.
Never, as far as
yeah.
I know,
that's right. That's right. I do
more
believe
levels
there's different levels
and
of punishment.
So we can agree that that's a mystery.
Right.
Unless
yeah.
you go to a book outside of the Bible, right? The Book of Enoch, the first 12 chapters. Tells about the different levels of hell and different cages of hell and stuff like that, but that's not in the Word of God.
So here's a great white throne judgment. We're kind of going where I didn't want to. I saw a great white throne judgment. He that sat on him whose face the earth and heaven fled, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books
mm-hmm.
were open, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books. So that's more than just a sin. He is adding sin to their sin, and he's adding their punishment. He's adding to their punishment according to the books, right? Because
so,
now you have books of sin.
And it just says those things. So my
okay.
whole life, all of the things that I did outside of God, if they haven't been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, every single one of those things...
Well, we're not talking about saved people. We're
right.
talking about...
All right,
the,
so if I wasn't saved, all right, and I go to the Lord on that day of judgment, on the final day of wrath, right? And he opens the books and says, Curtis Fitz, from the day that you were born, the iniquity was you were conceived in your mother's womb, that sin, this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin, this, all the way to the very last day that you die. That's what I believe that those books... Oh.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in, and death
mm-hmm.
and hell
gave
delivered
up
the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to
their
works.
Yeah.
You
so
know, when I was talking about the resurrection and,
yeah.
and when I did that in Sunday school, I was doing studies of books because
right.
that That's what I was doing.
That's right.
And the only books that are mentioned that aren't mentioned in Revelation like that is DNA.
Right. Yeah, right. Right.
And I think the book of your DNA is going to be opened.
Amen.
Because it has a record of everything for you.
Right.
It is you. And your DNA is you. Yeah. And we're all
scroll.
And we're all different by that. Yeah. And I just, to me, those are the only other books that are mentioned is the books of DNA.
That's right.
That aren't the book of life.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And so far as the punishment goes, in verse 14 and 15, in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
I agree.
Where's the different levels in the lake of fire in the King James Bible? Anyway,
everyone was judged according to their works.
Mm-hmm.
Works, plural, not works.
Just because he doesn't mention it doesn't necessarily mean it's not there, because he clearly says, better in the day of judgment is for these people. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
He's going to say it nicer to them? You're going to hell?
Yeah.
Or
you're going to hell?
Yeah, see, he clearly says that, so it means something.
I think I do. I mean, it's all sin. Rejection of Jesus Christ is sin that leads you into eternal death.
Right.
But there are different types of sin. Antichrist betrayed him. That's a deeper sin than just somebody. The person that just doesn't believe in Jesus Christ and goes and lives a life on not believe Jesus Christ, he's not committing some of the sin these other people are committing, like raping children or raping women. There are different levels of sin, even though it's all sin that leads you to hell. So now as you're sinning, Christ is writing it in your books, your sins. Right? And I'm told that they are judged according to their works. Not work, not singular, but works, plural. So we don't have to agree. We don't have to agree on that.
I'm kind of having fun.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to learn.
I'm trying to learn.
You know something I should know. I want to hear
some scripture right here. I have had that stuff thrown. I'll talk to somebody. I'm thinking of one particular person. But when you're dealing with the unscripturalness of the preacher rapture.
Right.
And this is the one that often will be thrown back at your face. And it's hard. This is the hard portion of scripture.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the one that they'll go back to.
You know, if let me put it this way. If iniquity is lawlessness, why doesn't he say lawlessness? Why does he say iniquity? Because those two words don't mean the same. Iniquity is deeper than lawlessness.
Pastor just said, we're born in iniquity, and that struck a chord with me. If we're born in iniquity, it's not the same as born in lawlessness.
Right. That's right. It's not illegal to be born.
But you're going to hell the moment that you are born.
I agree.
This sounds like something we better study.
Yeah. You know,
because we're kind of throwing out opinions, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I want to know if God's going to tell us something out of this.
It's not by consensus.
Right.
It's by God's word.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, we could disagree here. My point is, they're changing words.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they changing words? It's because this is why they're changing words. This is what I was trying to get at. So this is the commentary. We saw where they're changing words. The new translators are changing words from letteth to restrainer or hinderer, right? Okay, so here's the King James. Here's a commentary, dispensationalist. We did this last time, but I want you to hear what he says again. King James, right? The Thessalonians should have known what restrains. Not with letteth, what restrains. So now he's going along with the change that the corrupt translators have done. He's going along with it. What was restraining the man of sin? It is the dread event that must await the rapture. So he's saying that's the taking away. It's going to happen. That's what's restraining the man of sin being revealed, right? The influence. So here you go. The influence of true Christians in the world, both in winning others to Christ and serving as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Remember, I've told you before, they use that verse, if the salt had lost its savor, they use that as a pre-trib rapture verse. But what is that talking about in Matthew 5? It's about you walking away from your faith, that you were the salt of the earth, and then you decided you weren't going to have that salt on you anymore. You lost your favor. But this is another one of those one verse where they say, that's a pre-trib rapture. Okay, and it's preventing the inevitable quick decay of the world into darkness and corruption of global evolution humanism. These Christians actually are indwelt and guided by the Holy Spirit, and is the presence of the Holy Spirit himself in the world that is really preventing the triumphant revelation of the man of sin. So, letteth. He's going to say that the Holy Spirit is the one withholding, and he is the one who letteth. So, the Holy Spirit through the church, letteth, that is, delays or hinders. So now he's going along with the changed ones who changed the Bible. It say letteth now means hinder or restrain. Okay, he is the one who hinders the revelation of the son of perdition. In effect, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way when all those he indwells and guides are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Of course, he says that he's omniscient. So how does he be removed? Well, it's by the church. Okay, so let's just start. Can you remove the Holy Spirit from off the earth?
No.
Let's make sure, because...
Now, can you take the people who hold the Holy Spirit and make them silent?
We're going to get into it. I promise.
Right. And so I know that it's been said that let always means allow, right? Always, throughout all of Scripture, every single time.
Okay. So John, let's do these. You see them up here. Can you tell me, we did this before, give me an attribute or a name of the Holy Ghost?
Comforter.
Do you see anywhere in your Bible, in your scripture reading, where he's called the restrainer? Do you know anywhere in your Bible that you have read he is the hinderer? He's the comforter. He's not called anywhere the restrainer or the Holy Spirit. If he was, your King James Bible would tell you that. John 14, 16 says that. He's the comforter. All these say he's the comforter. Romans 8, 26 says he's the helper. Helper. Nowhere does he call him your restrainer. Genesis 1, 2. And the earth was... Go ahead, Curtis.
Comforter for the church. Helper for the church. Does he not restrain evil out of the church? Actually stops, he sends bands of angels to protect his saints, to stop them.
It's a helper. I consider it a helper.
But on the other side of the coin, okay. He's a restrainer.
Okay, if you want him to be the restrainer,
right.
I'm
not saying I want him to be the restrainer, but there's more than one aspect.
All I'm saying is the Bible does not call him the restrainer.
And this is for the born-again people, no doubt.
Right.
All right. Now, for everybody who is not born again, and the Holy Spirit is at work restraining them from accomplishing, destroying the Word of God. Doesn't the Holy Spirit do that also?
Yeah. Okay, so could we just move on here? Genesis 1, 2. The earth was all form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Revelation 5, 6. And I beheld, lo, in the midst of a throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. So he's got seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. So his seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. Look at Zechariah 4:10. For who had despised the day of small things? For who shall they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel? And with those seven eyes, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole world, earth, I don't know what NT there is, forth into all the earth. Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. What did I do? Oh, okay. Okay, so you can see there, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Okay, so you can see that the Holy Spirit obviously cannot be removed from the earth, from the presence of the earth, going to and fro through the earth. So this idea that the Holy Spirit can be removed is wrong. So he's saying he understands that, but it's the church that is going to be removed. Therefore, the influence of the Holy Spirit through the church is going to be removed. First of all, the church, go back, look at the 2 Thessalonians there. He, right? He is going to be taken out of the way. Is the church a he? No. Okay. I agree. Psalm 34. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We are the bride. We are a she. We are not a he, singular, that gets taken out of the way. We are her. We are a she. So there's one point right there that, to me, it's an error. Joel chapter 2:16. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elder, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom, who's that? Go forth out of his chamber, and the bride, who's that? Out of her closet. We are not a he, we're a she. Great commission. So I'm told that the church is going to be taken out of the way. But yet I'm told that the Great Commission is given to us. Matthew 16:15, when the Great Commission was given, it said, go into all the world preaching the gospel. Luke 24:47 says, go into all nations, preach the gospel. Acts 1:8 says, go into the uttermost parts of the earth and preach the gospel. And Matthew 28:19-20, when they asked Jesus, he said, preach the gospel until the end of the world. Not the ends, but the end of the world. So who is the ones given the gospel if we're taken out of the way? Make sense? Go ahead, Gayla.
If you look at this logically, if the Holy Spirit were taken out of the earth, what would logically happen to the earth? It would disintegrate.
That's right.
Like, you don't even need the Bible to figure
that out. That's right.
And I don't think anybody here is saying that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the earth. But just, we talked about the influence of the conservative radio being taken off the air. All right. So there's going to be a cause and effect.
Yeah.
So when the Antichrist rises and he causes war against the saints, and he conquers the saints because the scripture tells us that he will, he puts us away wherever we're going to be put away. And all the Christians, the true Bible-believing folks, are all going to be gathered in a spot, several spots across the earth. But the preaching will only not be heard on the airwaves anymore. The preaching won't be heard from the pulpits anymore. The preaching of the real gospel.
It'll be heard, though.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the
word. Okay, let's chase it. First of all, I want to make sure, right. I'm not saying anybody here is saying this. I'm quoting...
Yes.
The liars in the commentaries. I'm not saying this group here, okay? So what I'm saying is it's the church, it's the Christians, it's the saints that are the influence that have the gospel and is preached until the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say some of them will be taken out of the way. It says he will be taken out of the way, singular, and he is a he, not a she. Second of all, like I just said, the gospel, when they, Matthew 24, when they asked Jesus about the sign of his coming and the end of the world, he said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, then the end shall come. So the Great Commission in there, and Jesus says, even until the end of the world, it is given to you to preach the gospel. So if we are I don't know about airwaves. I don't know how this is going to work. I think Doug or Kevin said it, mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is going to be mouth to mouth. There are going to be people witnessing, even if you're in prison. Were they not witnessing while they were in prison?
Sure they were.
Of course they were. Was it not spreading? Yeah, it was spreading. Okay. So let's look at some of these.
How it spread all through history until the 20th
century. That's right.
Mass media, yeah.
That's right. So look at Revelation 2. Let's just go through these. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. Church of Smyrna. Everybody there?
No.
Okay. Revelation 2:10 says, "Fear none of those things that shall come, which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So here we're told that we're going to be thrown into prisons. Mm-hmm. Up to, and I believe this is 10 days before the second coming. So here you're being thrown into prison. Now just stay with me here. This was brought up, Revelation 13, 7. Look at Revelation 13, 1 through 7. Well, no, I'm not going to read 1 through 7. We know this is Antichrist coming up out of the sea, right? Let's pick it up at 4. "And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who shall be able to make war against him? And there was given him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations." So we could see here that he has been given this power to overcome. We're going to be thrown into prisons. And this, I think, is the idea where, you know, we're taken out of the way. Look at Revelation 12, 9. "The dragon was cast out, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down and accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." They held their word. They kept their word of their testimony, even though they were being imprisoned and even though they were being slaughtered. "And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and the sea, and the devil has come down, having great wrath, because he knoweth he had a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given 2 wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. And the flood helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had cast out of his mouth." So you can see this persecution is going on by the devil, by the Antichrist. They're killing, but yet the saints are holding to their testimony. Okay. Daniel 11, because now you're going to, Daniel 11, look at what's being said here. This is talking about the same event. Let me know when you get there. This is the same event, and this is big. Okay. It doesn't say some of us are taken out of the way. It says he is taken out of the way. So my point here is the influence of the church is always in the world until the Christ appears. Look at Daniel 11. Look at 30. Here's the second coming. Coming of Antichrist. "For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return to his have indignation against the holy covenant." You're the holy covenant. You're the one who's been blessed by the covenant of God. So he's going to have indignation against the holy covenant. "So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And in arms, armies shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute," does sound familiar? "They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that make it desolate. And such a do wickedly against the covenant. Shall he corrupt with flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct," many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, and by captivity, and by spoil. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave unto them, shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall and try them to purge them, to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. You see what's going on here? I'm seeing Christians, I'm seeing God's children being slaughtered and persecuted, but yet they are leading people to Christ. So their influence has not been taken out of the way. They are very effective in their imprisonment, in their persecution, and in their martyrdom. It's right there.
He shall have intelligence with them
and forsake the holy. That's right.
Can I've been reading and studying this since we've been talking about it. So let me give you what I think the clear English is saying. This passage right in here is talking about Satan and the Antichrist.
Right.
That's the subject of this.
Amen. Yep.
And Paul talks about that, and he says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth," and that's going back to verse 3. We got to wait for this falling away. Mm-hmm. And then he says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." That's a colon after that.
That's right.
It's going to further explain what just was said.
That's right.
And what was just was said was talking about the mystery of iniquity. Only he who now letteth will let. Well, who's now letting? The God of this world is in charge of this world now. And he's the one that's letting things going on. He's not restraining, he's letting.
That's right.
Until he be taken out of the way. Now, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be taken out of the way. He would go away.
That's right.
He's not taken out of the way. He's God.
It's like God.
He will go away if he wants to go away. Yeah, yeah, he won't be taken out of the way. Well, who's going to be taken out of the way? Satan is, because he's thrown in to make a fire.
Yes. Exactly. So that's my point. You can see right here. So, if you still want to believe that it's the church going to be taken, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just showing you verses that show that we are an influence in the last days, even though they're persecuting us, even though they're throwing us in prison, even though they're killing us. The influence of the church is still in the world until the last day, until Christ comes. So, let's continue. Doug brought it up. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. Look at Mark 13:11. Now, she just said, what did we just say that one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit was? A helper. What did he just say right here in Daniel chapter 11? You will be hoping with a little help in these last days. Look at Mark 13. Doug, you get there, 13. Mark 13, 9-13.
13:9-13.
End times. We're talking end times. This is the Olivet Discourse.
But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved.
There you go. So you can see who's helping you. And not only that, what did he just say here? He said that you're going to leave it as a testimony. That is you witnessing to either a lost person or somebody that could get saved. So the influence of the church, of the Holy Spirit, is not taken out of the way. He is highly influential. Jim, you want to read Luke 21:12-19? Same thing. Olivet Discourse. It's the same event he's talking about, the end of the world and the power over the saints to influence. It's, I've said this before. When you witness to somebody, it's not necessarily to bring him to Christ. It's not necessarily to bring him to Christ. It is when they stand before Jesus Christ is going to say to them, "I sent you, Kevin. Yeah. Kevin gave you a Bible tract and you rejected it." It is also a witness against them.
when you stand before these kings and all that, that reminds me of Jesus standing before
Pilate. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's right. It's right.
Giving a witness, but...
And Paul doing the same.
It's yeah. right. It's right.
King Agrippa.
Yeah.
Yep.
In Daniel, that Daniel passage you read, 11:30, is there any chance that is not talking about the end time?
He says till the time of the end.
Pardon me?
It says till the time of the end.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, it's verse 35.
I'll say this, Wendy. Daniel is Revelation in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
12 to 14.
What do I got there? 12 to 19.
20 or 21?
21. I'm sorry. Luke 21, 12 to 19. Thanks, dear.
But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair on your head perish. In your patience process, ye shall your soul, possess your soul.
Very good. It's saying the same thing he just said in Mark 13. But yet, in Mark 13, he says the Holy Ghost is going to overcome you at that. I believe that. I believe that, that in the time of persecution, martyrdom, the Holy Ghost is going to cover me. But you know what he says in Luke, the same passage that he's quoting in Mark? I'm going to do it. Jesus Christ is going to do it. Because why, Tom? Because there's no strength in you. You've lost all your fleshly battles against the spirit world. You've lost them all, Tom. But through me and through the Holy Ghost, I'll give you victory. And it's going to be a testimony against them when you do these things. So the influence is not gone of us. It's not gone.
Back in Daniel, in the passage you read, it said the hoping without hope.
We'll be hoping with a little help.
Without help. Was that Daniel what?
11:34.
It says, yeah, now they that fall shall be hoping with a little help. So that you're going to get help from the helper.
Just a little bit.
Right? That's all you need, right? Okay, so you know, we brought up Revelation. Did you want to say something about it?
No,
okay, so we see this again. Turn to John 17. And, you know, we see this. We read in Revelation 3:10 where the devil is going to cast you in, right? You're going to be, what did he just say in that Jim just read? Even though they're going to kill you, a hair of your head will not be harmed.
It doesn't say harm. It says it won't perish.
Okay.
Yeah, because your hair is going to hurt.
Right.
It will be harmed.
So,
but it won't perish in the second death.
Right.
Where are you? What is...
So we're going to John. I just want to show you something in John 17. And then what I want to show you, I want to get to what I think. I could be wrong. What I think he who now letteth will let. Okay, so we talked about all this persecution and martyrdom. Look at John 17. Pick it up at 9. Everybody there?
By heart.
9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, that I might come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be as we are, may be one as we are. While I was yet with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should have taken them out of the world, but they should keep, that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're in the world.
Yeah.
We're in it. Our influence is in the world. In it. But yet we are not of the world, and we are kept by him. Okay.
And that's why we're hated, because we're not of the world. That's why the world is going to come against us with our own family, with our friends.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
with
yeah.
Other folks who call themselves Christians.
That's right. I think that's what you're going to see. Mm-hmm. You're going to see them, the ones that we called brothers and not family, like Curtis said, not those. Believe me, they've turned on you a long time ago.
Yeah.
The ones that we called brothers and sisters in Christ that aren't on board with what's being taught and preached by doctrine, not by Tom Elias, but by doctrine, they're going to turn on us.
Right.
They're going to turn on us. Why? Because they don't like it. They don't like the narrative. That's why they change words. That's why I get to the bottom of changing words. That's why they change words, because they have a narrative that they want to get to.
Well, they serve a different God.
What's that?
They serve a different God.
Right. Absolutely. They serve their own belly.
They have determined is an appropriate God.
Yeah. Right. They serve their own.
To themselves, teachers with itching ears.
That's right.
Itching ears, and
that shall many be offended. We shall betray one another and shall hate
each other. That's right.
Absolutely.
And that's where we're coming on now.
Yep.
They were saying on FAI, I was watching that, they said, if you think there's not contention with this, because their presentation was on this, he said, read the comments. There is vitriol.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it. Yeah. I mean, you guys know me. I'm outspoken. This isn't the only place I'm on. I get on places and I start commenting. I'm hated. I had a church that I loved.
Yeah.
King James told me, you're going to keep talking that there is no pre-trib rapture. We're going to ask you to leave. Mm-hmm. Ask you to leave? Well, why can't we talk about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says that they'll know we're Christians by our love.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or disciples. Yeah. That's in the scripture today. We're going through it.
But in Daniel 11, it also said many left the faith because of flatteries.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this is what I believe in my studies. You don't have to agree. So back to 2 Thessalonians, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Okay, so this is what I believe is happening. I agree. God is in control of everything. There's no doubt about it. But I want you to pay attention to some verses of who he who letteth might be. Luke 4, 5 through 7. It's up here on your board if you want to turn there. The temptation of Christ. Listen to what the devil says. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, what did he say to him? All this power I will give thee and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me. The devil.
And he's the one that now letteth. He's not the one that's later going to letteth.
You got it.
He's the one now letteth.
You got it. It is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Letteth.
Yeah.
He's the one letting it. Right? The devil.
And he's the one that's taken out of the way.
Absolutely. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You see what this should send chills up your spine. He is offering the position of the Antichrist to the Christ. Right? He's offering him the things of this world, the kingdoms of this world. It's underlined right there.
Today.
Who is the one who's letting? This is what I see. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is what I see. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in times past ye, Kevin, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Yeah. Who's the one letting? 2 Corinthians 4, you see it here? 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Revelation 13, 1 and 2. I stood upon the sand of the sea and I saw a beast. Who's the beast? Antichrist, right? And rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon its horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and a mouth of a lion. And who gave him his power and his great authority? Who's the dragon? The devil. Who's letting here? Revelation 6:2. We know this. The rider, that some people is a pre-trib rapture, right? That's what I've been told. Oh, no, that one rider in Revelation 6:2. Oh, no, that's Jesus Christ coming for the pre-trib rapture. Look, I saw and behold a white horse. We did opposites, right? He's coming as a king. And he that sat on him had a bow. Could be a sash. I see your point. And a crown was given. It was given. He didn't come with. Jesus already has a crown. Right. Nobody gave Jesus a crown. Crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer.
Doesn't it talk about his name was blasphemy?
Yeah. Yeah. So clearly who gave him the crown? Does this make sense? Instead of doing these word jumping jacks, reaching in a bag of definition, does this not make more sense?
Where did it come from?
The Bible itself. So I mean, like I said, you don't have to agree with this. I'm just giving you Bible verses that say, "He who now letteth will let until." So he's the one who's letting. He's letting until he, Doug said it, he is the Antichrist that is going to be taken out of the way. Why? Because look at verse 8. Then shall that capital W, be wicked, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Okay, so who's the wicked one? How do I know that's not Antichrist? Look at Matthew 13:19, about the parable of seeing the sower. Oh, when that one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. That's not Antichrist. That's Satan. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Matthew 13:38, the parable of the wheat and the tares. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. 1 John 2:13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. How about Cain? Go ahead, Kev.
So verse 8. Now, this is just, these scriptures, these are tough. This is tough stuff here. But so then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Next verse. Even him whose coming is after.
Yeah.
After the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's why I look at that and I go, is that Antichrist? Even that wicked, I mean, it's capitalized.
Right.
That wicked. The next verse says, even him,
even
whose
him.
Coming is after.
That's Antichrist.
Even him whose coming is after.
Yeah. So look at John's going to tell you about Cain.
But that's reflecting back on that wicked, right? Verse 8.
No, he's saying even. He's saying also the one whose coming is after the working of Satan. Satan is the wicked one.
Now, and after, are we talking a timeline or are we talking like a...
Right, yeah, right, right.
You know, I can mimic you and act like you after you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, verses
it strikes me
eight
that
and nine.
When you read the Revelation one, the horse, the white horse, the crown, the conflict, all of that is visual.
Yeah.
Right.
All of that is what you see.
Yeah.
That is the danger of our day. That is what the enemy is working toward, is to create an image, something we look at, and we can be deceived with our eyes. We can't if we're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But clearly, the imagery is a big part.
This is wild stuff, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I have another thought on that, too, because if you read back in 3, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, but that's not Satan.
Right.
That's
right. That's his son. That's his son.
And then in verse 8, now maybe Satan is revealed.
You're right. That's exactly what I think is happening. The whole thing, what's being withheld is the mystery of iniquity. They're going to be revealed, the whole kitten's caboodle of them, right? The unholy trinity. That's going to be revealed, and that is going to be taken out of the way. It is going to be destroyed. 1 John 3:12 says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. The Antichrist was not on the scene with Cain. Who was? The devil. I see it, Gayla. 1 John 5:18. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. So I believe that Genesis 3, 14, and 15 is actually a prophecy and not just, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. And the Lord said unto God, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and us, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Did they drive a nail through his feet? Christ? Yes. And what did Christ do? He crushed him on his head. He defeated sin and death at the crucifixion. So I believe that Genesis 3:15 is actually a prophecy. Do you want to say something?
I have a question. it's probably very foundational. So Judas, Satan entered into Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's called the son of perdition. And when we talk about the Antichrist being the son of perdition, but yet we talk about Satan giving him his power, is the son of perdition, it's not Judas in the flesh, it's still Satan, right? It's a manifestation.
I think it is Judas in the flesh, because clearly they're two different entities in the last times.
He believes that it was Judas and is to be Judas in the flesh.
See, he doesn't have to repossess him. Jesus called him a devil. He's already possessed him. So now when he comes up, right, he's in his unholy, devilish body. He's a separate entity than the devil. The devil is going to be revealed as a person. We got time. Look, Isaiah 14. Turn there quickly.
Is this like the Trinity in the other side?
The unholy Trinity. Yes. And I'll say this too. The false prophet is not the third person of the unholy Trinity. He's the false John the Baptist. He's the false Elijah and Moses. The unholy spirit is the spirit of the devil going throughout the world. Our Holy Spirit is omnipresent, indwells all of us. The spirits of devils working iniquity into the world is the unholy Trinity. the false prophet is the false prophet. Okay, so look at, well, Isaiah 14. This is talking about the devil, right? For lack of time, read this on your own. And matter of fact, we're gonna close this up because I got nothing more to say about this. You can believe what you want to believe. I've given you the verses. We got nothing more to say about it. I would say go read this right here. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, 11 to 19 is clearly talking about the devil. And then read Revelation 19, 20 to 20.3. But I want to just, let's just finish here with Isaiah 14 on the devil. Isaiah 14, 4. I think we could finish it. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Okay. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? He's not talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking about the devil. Okay? He's the king of Babylon. He who smote the people in his wrath in continual stroke and ruled the nations in his anger and persecuted and none hindereth. All the world is at rest and is quiet. By the way, there's the word hindereth. Why isn't it there in 2 Thessalonians? The whole world is at rest and quiet, and they break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against thee. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even the chief ones of the earth had raised up from their thrones, and all the kings of the nations. They, and all they that shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become as we?
Weak as we.
Art thou become like unto us? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the vials, and the worm is spread over thee. Genesis 3:15. And the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cast down to the ground, thou that weakest the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation at the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and they that see thee, narrowly shall look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? The devil. Is this the man? Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed cities thereof, and opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations and all them lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain. He's going to be a terror. While we're weak, he's going to be a terror. Those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, Revelation 19, and go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, but thou hast destroyed the land and slain thy people. The seed, Genesis 3:15, the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. That's what I believe. I believe he who now letteth, he will be taken out of the way. Antichrist will be taken out of the way. And then he will be revealed, the wicked one, the son, the devil himself, the unholy trinity will be revealed in the last days. This is what I believe. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. I'm just presenting it to you the way I believe God taught it to me.
And it sounds like when he's bound that 1,000 years, he's not alone.
That's right.
He's down there talking with them.
That's right.
Telling him,
yep. He's in his prison down there.
The lake of fire has not been.
That's right. By the way, good point with the lake of fire. That's right. They immediately go to the lake of fire. Except he turns into a man. Why? Because it is appointed for man once to die, then comes the judgment. These two, the false prophet, Jesus, Antichrist, he called a devil. So he's already been judged and lived. So now these two immediately go into the lake of fire, while everybody else goes to the pit of hell.
Yeah, Satan's not done.
That's right.
He's got to be released at the end.
That's right.
But in verse 20, it says, "Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial."
Right.
Does that mean he'll be there alone?
Well, he's going to be in prison in hell. We know that by because of Revelation.
Different.
Yeah.
Hell is
right.
Not burial.
Right.
The grave is burial.
Oh, and what did we just see? That wicked whom the Lord shall consume with the power of his coming. I don't know what it looks like, but he's clearly done with him.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
I do apologize. I know I get worked up. If I've offended, I apologize. I just, I'm me. You got to take the good and the bad of me. Father God, we do come before you. I am thankful for your word. Lord, if I've said before and Curtis has said before, if I'm wrong, if I'm in error, please, Lord, hold it not against my brothers and sisters, but hold it to me. Hold it to my account. And I know you, Lord. I know you're kind and merciful. I know if I deserve a beating, you'll give it to me. But you know that out of a true heart, I search these things. And I have no outside motivation, no ulterior motive, but just to believe the word of God. So if I am in error, Lord, I would ask you to please correct me, either by showing me yourself or by one of my brothers or sisters in Christ. But I believe you have truly spoken. You have given us your word. It is your word that I trust. And I do not trust men. I do not trust men who change words. And I just thank you for your word. I pray that we would take these things that we have learned from them. I pray that if it has helped people, that it would help. Because we will be witnesses in a world, a lost world, and also in brothers and sisters in Christ who are being deceived. We are the ones who you have been given a witness to of true doctrine. And we know we're not the only ones, Lord, but we do trust your word of God. And I'm thankful for this opportunity. Lord, work in me to be kinder. Help me, Lord. I want to be. But you know my zeal too. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.